This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us. It is Friday, and we are at the 110 Grill in Plymouth. We're already having so much fun. We have such a great crowd already. I thank you all so much for coming. But if you want to stop by, Howie and I will be here till 6 o'clock, so you still have plenty of time to come by. If you have a nice meal here, you'll get a little treat from Howie. He brought some gifts with him, and we're just going to have a ton of fun today. So make sure you come down to the 110 Grill in Plymouth. And, you know, it was weird this morning. I was looking for news, going through everything. I'm writing a piece currently about January 6th and the committee hearings. And my opening line was, do these have an end date at any point? Is this just, is this like a mini series, or is this going to be, is there a season two, a season three? How long are these things going to go on for? Is there, you know, a finale that is orchestrated? What's happening? And so when I went online this morning and I'm trying to figure out what else is going on, there wasn't too much. And then within the last hour, there was like 15 stories that came across my desk. The one I want to start with is Joe Biden. In case you didn't know, he's on tour right now. This is Joe Biden. He's going around the world. He seems to be in a competition with the rest of his family members about who can offend more groups of people in a short amount of time. I don't understand how they do it. Like, I think of it as a horse race. And at the beginning of the race, Dr. Jill pulled out in front with her tacos comment this week.
Nana.
So you're saying to yourself, we got Jill, we got Jill. She's going to win this race. She's going fast. Oh, no, Joe's coming up on the side. He's saying a lot of offensive things to a lot of people. He's falling asleep at the podium. Oh, wait a second. Hunter, it's going to be Joe. Because Joe is going to all these different countries, and he is really stepping in it everywhere he goes. I know yesterday we talked about whether or not he was going to bring up Jamal Khashoggi when he met with the Saudis. But the big optical question for his White House was, is he going to shake the Saudi prince's hand? And as I told you yesterday, that is why there was this whole conversation about COVID. You notice that COVID really popped up again over the last 48 hours because they were saying, well, you know, he's going to fist bump when he gets to Israel, when he lands in Tel Aviv because of COVID, and Joe can't help himself. There's no chance if you run into Joe Biden, especially if you're a female, that he's going to fist bump you. He's going to bring you in for the real thing. He's going head first to everyone he meets. I always say it's like his forehead has a magnet, and he's like a moth to a flame. He sees people and he wants to get as close as humanly possible to their faces. So he went to Israel and he blew up that whole idea of doing the fist bump. He had his wing around people, you know, oh, come here, knuckle sandwich. And so now he goes to meet with the Saudi prince. And in case anyone was wondering how that ended up, he did fist bump the Saudi prince. And I thought actually Byron Donalds, who's a congressman, he had a really good point. He said a fist bump for the Saudis and the middle finger to Texas, Colorado, Alaska, North Dakota, and New Mexico, who stand ready to produce the oil Biden is begging Saudi Arabia for. America is last. And it's true. I always think this about him. He'll go to places he talks such a big game about all these regimes, you know, and he says how he, who can forget, you know, he looked Putin in the eye and told Putin, you have no soul, and he's always ready to fight. You know, he's like Donnie Deutsch. He's a fake tough guy. But when he gets around and he actually meets with people, he's fist bumping, he's begging for oil. The only people he can talk tough to in real life, you're looking at right now. All the people here at the 110 Grill. If Joe Biden showed up here, he would have no problem giving us a stern talking to. But when he goes to Saudi Arabia, he becomes a little bit sweeter, I think. He's, you know, he's got the aviators on, he's smiling. But before he even got there, he was stopping at all these places, and he stopped at a hospital in East Jerusalem. And like I said, I'm not really quite sure what the purpose of all of these stops is. I think that the main purpose of this trip was to leave the day the inflation report came out. He saw 9.1%, and he said, fire up Air Force One, we're getting out of here. So while he's there, he has to make everything about himself. We talked a little bit about this earlier in the week because I was amazed that when he was in Tel Aviv and he was talking about the Holocaust, he had to bring up what the Holocaust meant to his family in Delaware sitting around the kitchen table, because that's the natural reaction, you know? God forbid we don't know what Joe's father thought about the Holocaust 100 years ago. We have to know that. That's crucial to the information. Well, he's managed to do that again. I always say Joe is the bride at every wedding and the corpse at every funeral. No matter where he goes, it's about Joe. And he's going to regale you with his tales of why things are important to him. It's all, we're seeing everything from the scope of Joe Biden. So he's at this hospital, and he decides to bring this back to him. And the comment that's getting a lot of play has to do with a comparison he made, Jared. He decided to tell people about how he's Irish. Do I have this correct?
Yeah, he rambled something about being Irish, and that's comparable to the, or applicable to the Palestinians, or something. Something to that effect.
Yeah, well, here's how Jared described this cut. Joe Biden tells meandering story about Irish and Palestinians.
That's accurate.
Let's hear cut two.
Before I begin, I'd like to say that there's an old expression, hope springs eternal. My background and the background of my family is Irish American, and we have a long history of not fundamentally unlike the Palestinian people with Great Britain and their attitude toward Irish Catholics over the years for 400 years. But
now, my first question right out the gate, forget the fact that I have no idea why he would say that. I have no idea what the purpose of that is. My first question out of the gate is, did someone write that for him? Or was that an ad lib? Because if someone wrote that for him, if one of the people in this administration thought that, oh, this is going to resonate, this is going to go well, let me type this up. These people are certifiable.
I do want to say, from watching the video of this, I don't think any of this was scripted.
Really?
Yeah, he was, I don't want to say out to lunch, but he was lost a lot of the time on this one. There was a lot of silence, a lot of blank stare, the coughing fit, there was all of it.
You know, you almost have to admire how, despite all of the talking to that he must get when he goes behind the scenes, like, I can't imagine how angry all of his staffers get when he finishes a speech. Like, we told you not to talk about this. We told you not to kiss the prime minister on the face when you saw him. And you still did it anyway. But you kind of have to admire that even though he's getting yelled at constantly, he goes out there and he's like, no, I'm going off the cuff. I'm good enough to go off the cuff. Yeah, you know, I've been doing this for so long. I can hit a baseball over those mountains. I can bench press 400 pounds. I'm going to go off the cuff and tell people what I think. And it always ends.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
It always ends in disaster. And then, here's one more thing I got to add in here before we go to break. Another thing he loves to do that never goes well. So let's say you make a mistake, right? And it's embarrassing. What do you tend to do? You tend to say, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to tell that story again. No one really liked it. It didn't go well. Joe doesn't learn from his mistakes, ever. So what he likes to do is he likes to quote poetry. Because that should always work out for him, right? Quoting poetry. He does it again. This is cut three.
And there's a great poem from the Cure Troy, a paragraph. It goes like this. And it's classically Irish, but it also could fit Palestinians. It says, history teaches us not to hope on this side of the grave. But then, once in a lifetime, that longed-for tidal wave of justice rises up and hope and history rhyme. Hope and history rhyme. It is my prayer that we're reaching one of those moments where hope and history rhyme.
Now, I'm a proud, a lot of people here probably know this, I'm a proud Irish Catholic woman. Or, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. I'm a proud Irish Catholic.
Birthing people.
Thank you. Yes, uterus haver. Birthing person. Woman X. Taco, I don't know. I'm Irish. If you sent me, if Howie Carr said, hey, Grace, you're going to go to a hospital in East Jerusalem and you're going to make some remarks, never in my wildest dreams would I think, I'm going to bring up my Irish heritage. This is what people want to hear. This is going to bring this home. He continued to make comparisons. It's really amazing. 844-500-4242. We have a lot to talk about. I also have some stunning cuts from Gavin Newsom, who, if you haven't heard this, a lot of people think Gavin Newsom is trying to maneuver his way into the White House. So when Biden left on this trip, the first thing Gavin Newsom did was show up to the White House. And it was bizarre, because why would you go when Joe's not there? Unless you think this is a good photo op, you're going to look like you're going to be president. But it might be harder for Gavin Newsom than he thinks, because he just did an interview and he was asked about George Gascon, whose policies have enraged not just Californians, but people across the country can't believe what's going on. And when he's asked about this district attorney who's made headline after headline after headline, his response is basically, you know, I don't know that much about it. I can't comment. We'll play that cut for you. We have a lot of sound to get to. We're at the 110 Grill in Plymouth. Stop on by. Come grab some lunch. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. It's going to be a really fun show. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
It's time for lunch.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Jared is such a wonderful producer, and he has so much patience for me. He was asking me over and over again, what do you want the poll question to be? And because we're here at the 110 Grill, and I just got here a little while ago, everything's kind of up in the air. I said, you just got to figure one out for yourself. I don't really know. And Jared just texted me and said, how about this? Will Joe Biden quote Irish poetry to the Saudi prince? I think that works. I'll wait on it, Jared, so we get more results. But I'm going to go in the yes category. Because why not? It works so well with everyone else. He might as well try it. Al, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Al.
Yes, hello, Grace. I'm quite upset at Biden trying to change off the cuff our foreign policy and alliances in the Middle East. I don't know why he had to go to a quote-unquote Palestinian hospital. The hospitals in Israel are integrated. That applies to both the workforce. In other words, people who are Muslim get to go to medical school in Israel, and they pay the same tuition, which is to say zero, as Jewish or Christian Arabs would pay in those medical schools. That's one part of it. The second part of it is the poem. It's so offensive. The only two Palestinian organizations that I know of that exist in or around Israel are the PLO on the one hand and Hamas on the other. And they constantly promote to their children that they should become terrorists.
Yeah, you know, I don't claim to be a foreign policy expert of any kind, but I will say if I was going to come up with a speech to deliver in East Jerusalem, I'd be a little sensitive to everything, especially if I were the president of the United States. I might have someone double check the speech. I might not go off the cuff in that situation. But you can't stop Joe Biden. He can't be tamed. And he also went on to talk about his time as vice president under Obama. And we'll get to all this. But one thing I wanted to mention here is that someone just stopped by the 110 Grill and was talking about the FBI. And I don't know if people watched Tucker Carlson last night, but he had a great segment about Ray Epps. And Ray Epps is an enigma to me. And here's why. According to Adam Kissinger, however you say it, I don't know. It's like Kim Basinger. I can't do it. But according to all of these, you know, January 6th committee democracy defending hacks, Ray Epps is not a Fed. He's not a Fed. He wasn't an informant. It was all on the level. He is an insurrectionist, right? Okay. And that's what I'm told to believe. And far be it from me to question the honesty and the integrity of all these Democrats and these government agencies that have never lied to us before. So I take that and I say, okay, Ray Epps. You know, it would seem the way he talked in that video when he told people to go inside the Capitol that he was a Fed. He gave off Fed vibes. People around him started chanting, Fed, Fed, Fed. But again, if they tell me, don't believe your own eyes, I won't believe them. But here's where I fall off. The New York Times writes this piece, and they start, and Howie did a great job yesterday. He started playing the violin as he was reading it. They start this sob story for Ray Epps. They feel bad for him. He's been, you know, victimized by this conspiracy theory. He is made out to be the villain, and really he's just, you know, now he's living in a trailer park. But which is it? Because if he's not a Fed, then shouldn't he be as bad as all those other insurrectionists who are sitting in prison now for however many days? Some of them are in like solitary confinement. Why is the New York Times suddenly feeling sympathetic towards a Trump-supporting insurrectionist? But what Tucker pointed out, and we'll get this cut, is that there is a key piece at the end of the story that the New York Times might be trying to leak out before it becomes, you know, a big scandal. Mr. Epps, you know what, I'm going to save it because it's a good tease. If you didn't catch Tucker, we'll talk about it when we come back. Mr. Epps got a nice sob story in the New York Times, but there's one key part of this I want people to know about. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered. And there's video out there of him chanting, tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol. This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, "Fed, fed, 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 fed." Ms. Sandburn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
And you know why they can't answer that question. It's because it would jeopardize the investigation, of course. That was back in January. That was Ted Cruz during a hearing asking about Ray Epps, who we're not really allowed to ask about. And the thing I'm working on right now for Spectator, I kind of go into this about how this will go down in history as nothing more than a show trial, because you only have one group that's allowed to ask questions, and it's a group of Democrats. And yes, I know Liz Cheney's on the committee. Like I said, it's a group of Democrats. And they're going to ask only the questions they want to ask. And so this has become a complete joke. And now Tucker, in his show yesterday, within like a 3-minute span, he shows more skepticism and more insight into what actually went on that day than this entire trial and millions of dollars and hours of graphics and all of these interviews have done in the past couple of months. So let's take a listen to what Tucker Carlson had to say about Ray Epps and this piece in the New York Times, which is titled "A Trump Backer's Downfall as the Target of a January 6th Conspiracy Theory." It takes place in the Rocky Mountains, up a winding country road, in a trailer park a half mile from a cattle ranch, lives a man whose life has been ruined by a January 6th conspiracy theory. They have so much sympathy for Ray Epps. Can I have Tucker Carlson cut 32, please?
But it's amazing how little Democrats want to hear about this. Again, Nancy Pelosi and Liz Cheney have spent the last year staging an investigation at great expense, and then a series of public show trials, arresting people in their homes, supposedly designed to discover how and why January 6th happened. But they remain curiously uninterested in the Epps case. We've got what seems like an actual insurrectionist on tape, but they don't want to talk about it. And they definitely don't want you to talk about it or ask any questions. As if to prove that point, the New York Times just ran a piece explaining that when you ask questions about Ray Epps, you are committing a moral crime, maybe even helping Putin. The piece was entitled, "It's Just Been Hell, Life as the Victim of a January 6th Conspiracy Theory." Oh, so Ray Epps, the guy telling people to breach the Capitol, is now, in the words of the New York Times, a victim of your unrestrained curiosity.
Yeah, it's weird to me the victims the New York Times chooses. It's weird how certain people get portrayed in a certain light. And any time the New York Times is befriending someone or defending them, that should raise a red flag for you. Suddenly, questions are no longer allowed. I mean, he just mentioned that maybe you'll be accused of siding with Putin if you ask about Ray Epps. You might also be accused of being a transphobe if you ask, can only women give birth? I mean, there's no way around these things anymore. You're just not allowed to be curious about anything. This is Tucker Cut 33.
Mr. Epps also said he regretted sending a text to his nephew well after the violence had erupted, in which he discussed how he helped orchestrate the movements of people who were leaving Mr. Trump's speech near the White House by pointing them in the direction of the Capitol. Really? What was in that text? We'd never heard of that before, and it kind of makes you think the entire New York Times piece was written to drop that little bomblet at the end in the least damaging way. Now, we'd never seen that text message before. What exactly did Ray Epps say to his nephew? Have prosecutors reviewed that text? The New York Times doesn't tell us.
Yeah, and there's something else the New York Times doesn't tell us. Here's another little snippet from this article. The FBI has repeatedly declined to comment on Mr. Epps, but his account of calling the operations center and of sitting down for a formal discussion with federal agents in March 2020 is backed by transcripts of those interviews reviewed by the New York Times. So the New York Times has transcripts of these interviews, and yet all we're getting here is this sob story about Ray Epps. It's all highly, highly suspicious. 844-500-4242. We are here at the 110 Grill in Plymouth. You can come on by if you want to see me or if you want to see Howie. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. It's so fun. I just had a delicious cheeseburger. The food here is amazing. So make sure you come on by and check it all out. Now it is
meat
time
conglomerates.
The big four. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. So get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Will Biden quote Irish poetry to the Saudi prince?
Yeah, I'm going to say he will. He already fist-bumped the Saudi prince. Why not throw some Irish poetry at him?
59% of the audience agrees, yes, he will quote Irish poetry.
All right, another news story I wanted to hit here in the first hour, because I find this pretty amazing. Governor Gavin Newsom, and just so you know, your future president, Gavin Newsom, was being interviewed. Don't laugh. Some of the audience members are laughing. You're laughing at your future president. Governor, president, I'm going to call him President Hair Gel. He was sitting down for an interview, and he was asked about Gascon. And he actually has basically come up with the perfect response. If you haven't been following Gascon, he's a DA in California, and he's horrible, horrible. Who can forget the story about the mother with the baby carriage who got run over in the street? Somehow her and her baby survived. I have no idea how. It was a miracle. But Gascon is, no one is happy with what he's doing. And Jared, can I just have the cut where Newsom says he's not really familiar with Gascon's work?
I have an aversion to recalls, as you know, and I'm not convinced that's the best democratic approach to solving every problem.
But is he doing a good job?
I don't know enough about the job he's done. I'm deeply concerned about the criticism, and we have expressed ourselves very publicly along those lines, including in Los Angeles, as it relates to some of the issue happening with retail theft, some of the issue was happening on the railroad yards, and I've expressed my own issues privately as well, and I'll leave the more objective analysis of his job to locals that will have the opportunity to make that determination.
Says the guy who almost got recalled himself. He says, I don't know enough about the job he's doing. That's pretty amazing. He's the governor of California, and this is one of the biggest stories in California right now, is the recall of Gascon, and he doesn't know enough about the job that Gascon is doing. Maybe someone should slip all of the stories about Gascon's failed policies into the menu at the French Laundry, and Gavin Newsom can learn a little bit about it. He has plenty of time to buy ad space in Florida. He has plenty of time to attack Ron DeSantis and his press secretary. He has plenty of time to visit the White House to see Dr. Jill and flirt with cameramen. He has plenty of time to do all of that, but he doesn't have time to learn about George Gascon. That's a really damning cut. And he's just another empty suit Democrat who is overseeing destruction in his state and doesn't seem to care. Jared, let's take another one of Gavin Newsom. Pick whichever one you want.
Have you ever met Ron DeSantis or talked to him?
No.
What would you say to him?
Stop being a bully. Stop belittling people that look differently, act differently, love differently. Who the hell are you? Stop. Stop threatening people. Stop being so coercive. It's not power over. Power, dominance, aggressive, fear-mongering. We lived this with the Briggs Initiative in the 1970s. We've lived this in California with Prop 187. Look what Abbott is doing. Abbott's talking about eliminating a fundamental right for people, regardless of their immigration status, to get an education. We were debating that in the 1990s. Watch that space. Watch that space. That was the Doe decision. They're going to come after that next. This is a real moment for diverse communities. And it's not just, again, DeSantis, it's Abbott, it's Kentucky, it's South Dakota. You go down the list, these red states, there's a ruthlessness.
DeSantis.
And it's not just, again, DeSantis.
I don't know who DeSantis is, but it's pretty bold of Newsom, who cannot keep anyone in his state. There's a mass exodus from California. It's incredible that he's going to lecture Ron DeSantis on being a bully. If Ron DeSantis is such a bully, why is everyone trying to get to Florida? Why are there no U-Hauls left in California because everyone's already taken them? It's crazy. And he's going to give DeSantis, he's going to read DeSantis the Riot Act. And again, this just is constantly happening with these Democrats in power where they have no problem lecturing credulous boomer rubes or people they think, you know, the unvaccinated. They talk really tough. But when it comes to their fellow Democrats who are destroying this country, or when it comes to evil regimes across the world, they say nothing. The cat gets their tongue real quick. 844-500-4242. And while we're on the topic of California, we should play this cut of Nancy Pelosi. This is cut 24.
Regardless of background or zip code. And we offer hope to the American people who treasure our freedoms and who are overwhelmingly with us in our mission to defend them. What do Republicans have in store next? You can't travel to buy a book. You can't travel to see a concert or a play if they doesn't meet their, shall we say, I don't even use the word standards. They're what? Today we must pass this legislation for a second time. We first passed this bill last September after Texas severely
restricted
the ability.
Jared, pause there for a second. I have a question. She says people won't be able to go see a play or get a book. Is she finally standing up against the vaccine passports? Is that what's happening in that cut?
I think she is, although I don't know that she knows where she is.
No, actually what she's talking about is abortion rights, reproductive rights, whatever the left wants to call it today. And she thinks that makes her argument, but it really does sound like she's talking about vaccine mandates and passports. So someone should cut that up and use it for an ad. 844-500-4242. We are here at the 110 Grill. Come and say hi. Stop by and visit us. We would love to see you. And I need to tell you guys about a great company that I love, and that's Perfect Smiles. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is a superb architect. When it comes to dentistry, he's the best at what he does. He fixes your teeth and your smile, but what he really does is he builds the self-confidence of his patients. When you have a smile that you're proud of, it builds confidence in your professional life and in your personal life. The better you look, the better you feel, and that helps every aspect of your life, every interaction you have daily. If you're not afraid to smile, every other part of life becomes a lot easier. It's a new year, and you have the opportunity to make 2022 the year for a new you. If you've thought about Perfect Smiles for years but never called, now's the time. Take care of yourself. Call Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. They're conveniently located off of Route 3, and they have plenty of parking. You can reach them at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. I'm Grace Curley, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato chips.
You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We are at the 110 Grill in Plymouth, and we're already having such a great time. There's a lot of people here, but there's still plenty of time to come say hi. We'll be here till 6 o'clock, and you can get lunch or dinner and just, you know, enjoy the day here at the 110 Grill. Jared, I just thought of another poll question that would have been funny, because did you see the video of the Palestinian Authority's Honor Guard doing their rendition of the national anthem?
Yes, I did.
To quote American Idol's Randy, was that his name, Randy? I can't even remember. Was it Randy?
Yeah, Randy. He was, there was the mean guy, Paula, and Randy was the other guy.
Simon, Paula, and Randy. Well, Randy used to say, it was a little pitchy, dog. This rendition was a little pitchy. And now people are saying online that they think they did it on purpose. Like they purposely butchered the national anthem. when Joe Biden was there. Do you agree with that, Jared?
I would not be surprised. I will give the benefit of the doubt to the band that they probably have never played that song before.
Well, let's try to get the sound cut and we can have people decide whether or not they think it was purposeful. Because I thought, how bad can it be? And then I listened to it, and it was really out of sync. You know what we might have to do, Jared, is we'd have to look at their past work and see if it matches up. Because I saw other people on Twitter saying they know how to play those instruments. They're pretty good at it. There's a reason why the national anthem was so out of whack. 844-500-4242. We have a lot to get to today. Joe Manchin has really destroyed all of the Democrats' dreams. He said he is not going to back any of their plans as far as major spending goes. And Chuck Schumer is shell-shocked about this. He can't believe that Joe Manchin doesn't want to spend more in this economy. You know, why wouldn't you want to spend trillions of dollars more right now? And really, you know, we got to commit. If we're going to have inflation, we got to go all the way. So Joe Manchin says this, and now Pelosi says she's calling Schumer to find out what remains in the Build Back Better bill. And this is from a source on Twitter. She says she will be disappointed if it no longer saves the planet from climate change. The good news in all of this is that the experts, a lot of experts out there, don't think if there is a recession, some people say we're already in it, but they say if there is a recession, it won't be that bad. It will be short and it won't be that painful. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is those same experts have been wrong about everything thus far. So why would we think they're right on this? They've been wrong on inflation. And every time they're wrong, they won't even admit it. They just continue. Listen to Gene Sperling. He was on Fox. This is cut 25.
The question that keeps coming up again and again is that the messages that we've received from all levels of the White House and Treasury have been wrong. So how did you all get this so wrong?
Well, Martha, the things that the White House and the Treasury Department were saying last year, and I can't stress this enough, reflected the overwhelming economic consensus in the private sector in the U.S. and other places around the world.
Now, that doesn't do much for me. If you ask someone, why were you so wrong? And they say, well, everybody else was wrong, too. I don't care. That wasn't my question. I don't care how many people you consulted, how many open letters you got from Nobel laureates that told you you were going to be right. The point is that you're wrong. And good for Joe Manchin for putting his foot down on this, because I don't understand why anyone would think more of these massive spending bills is a good idea. And that's the crazy part, is when Joe goes places, he's still talking about all these great things he's going to do for climate change. One other thing I want to throw in here, Jared, before we go. Can I have cut 12, please? This is Joe Biden in East Jerusalem.
Maybe the most overused phrase, word in the English language for the Irish is dignity. My dad used to say everyone, no matter what their circumstance, is entitled to be treated with dignity. Dignity.
Jared, why is he spending this entire time at this hospital in East Jerusalem talking about Ireland? Does he think he's in Ireland? That would actually make sense in this situation. 844-500-4242. We're at the 110 Grill in Plymouth. Come on down and see us. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
And it's not just, again, DeSantos.